Chapter 19 Big Trouble. Fun Jungle Security hauled Marge, Summer, and me to J.J. McCracken's office. The three of us ended up seated before J.J.'s desk, while Honecker stood to the side. Marge and I hadn't even been allowed to change clothes. We were still damp and had to sit on Fun Jungle beach towels from the Emporium so we wouldn't leave wet spots on J.J.'s fancy couch. An enormous television was tuned to CNN. It was covering the panda story, a breaking news banner across the screen. The FBI had announced that they'd made an arrest in the case. There was footage of Molly O'Malley and the other agents leading a man I recognized as Carlos Edward Gomez from his home in handcuffs. The sound on the TV was muted, but even if it had been on, we probably couldn't have heard it over JJ's voice. If we thought Honecker was angry, it was nothing compared to how enraged J.J. was.
"Look at that mess,"
he roared, pointing down to Fun Jungle's entry plaza through his office windows.
"A trail of destruction from the Polar Pavilion all the way to the front gates. Reckless driving inside a family theme park. Parade floats ruined. Escaped animals. Kazoo the koala decapitated in front of children. God only knows how many lawsuits we'll end up with."
"We were in pursuit of a known criminal," Marge began weakly.
"That's no excuse for destroying my park," J.J. roared. "There are ways to deal with a criminal that do not involve causing chaos and mayhem on a mass scale. If you needed help, why didn't you alert Honecker?"
"I did alert Honecker," Marge replied sullenly, "but he turned out to be more interested in stopping me than the criminal."
J.J. shifted his gaze toward Honecker, who stood at military attention.
"I mobilized my men immediately," Honecker reported. "However, by the time we arrived on the scene, the troubles along the parade route distracted them. They prioritized ensuring the safety of the visitors over apprehending Van Amburgh, which unfortunately allowed Van Amburgh to escape."
"How'd he even get into the park at all?" J.J. demanded. "Weren't your men warned to keep an eye out for him at the gates?"
"They were," Honecker admitted sheepishly. "But..."
"The security force here is completely incompetent," Marge finished. "I would have had him, if you hadn't interfered."
"For all we know, you might have destroyed half this park if I hadn't interfered," Honecker raged. He turned to J.J. "I can't have a loose cannon on my force like this any longer. I know you've always respected her determination, but between her colossal failures on the panda case and this, we have to let her go."
J.J. didn't argue. He simply nodded and said,
"I understand."
Marge gave a strangled gasp and fixed J.J. with a look of betrayal.
"You can't fire me," she yelled. "Not after all I've done for this park."
"It's done," J.J. told her. "Go clean out your locker."
For the past year, I had been hoping to hear those words. I had always imagined the day Marge got fired would be one of the happiest of my life. It should have been thrilling to see my biggest antagonist finally get her comeuppance. But now that the moment was here, I was surprised to find I wasn't that happy at all. Marge was devastated. She seemed like a shell of herself as she slowly rose from the couch. It occurred to me that Marge didn't have much besides this job, and now it was gone. Plus, for all her faults, and there were about 10,000 of them, she had risked her life to save me from the polar bears. Meanwhile, I also needed Marge around a bit longer. With James Van Amburgh's attempt on my life and the ensuing chaos, there hadn't been a chance for me to tell anyone my new thoughts on the Li Ping case. I still had some questions that only Marge could answer.
"Wait," I said.
Marge paused on her way out. Everyone turned toward me, surprised I'd spoken up.
"Teddy?" J.J. said ominously. "Don't start with me."
"I'm not trying to," I said.
"Why is it," J.J. went on, "that whenever a crisis occurs at this park, you're always there? The shark tank implodes. My daughter's dangling in the air above the crocodile pit. A dead hippo falls out of the sky and sullies 100 distinguished guests. And no matter what, you're involved."
"Daddy," Summer said sternly. "That's not fair. Teddy wasn't responsible for any of that."
"Maybe not entirely," J.J. conceded. "But he's not completely without blame, either.
Some people are simply magnets for trouble, and Teddy, in all my life, I have never met anyone who attracts trouble more than you. I don't know if it's that you're reckless or unlucky, or that you keep getting involved in things you're not supposed to.
Last time he got involved in a case, it was because you forced him to, Summer said petulantly.
I'm not saying I haven't had a hand in all this at times, J.J. replied, although today's catastrophe had nothing to do with me. And yet, he turned to me, there you were, smack in the middle of it.
I was only trying to help find Li Ping, I said.
Well, this time no one asked you to, J.J. snapped. In fact, the FBI specifically ordered you to keep away from this case, and yet you wouldn't, despite ample proof that they have things under control. In fact, they have already made an arrest in connection with the crime.
But they're wrong, I said.
Oh, come now, J.J. cried. I know you have a great track record solving crimes, kid, but the feds had a ton of evidence against the NFF.
It was planted, I told him. I did my best to sound confident, although, in truth, I didn't have proof that I was right about my hunch. Not yet, at least. On the television, Molly O'Malley appeared, making a statement to the press. Marge tensed angrily at the sight of her sister. J.J. flipped the sound on so we could all hear her. We picked up Molly mid-sentence.
Need to share the credit with my entire team, who worked tirelessly to root out these criminals. I'm aware that Carlos Gomez and the NFF have issued statements professing their innocence, but I can assure you those are lies. I will stake my reputation on proving they are guilty of this heinous crime.
J.J. muted the TV again and turned back to me.
Sure looks to me like the FBI knows what they're doing.
But they haven't found the panda yet, have they? I asked. J.J.'s swagger faded. I'd caught him by surprise. When he spoke again, he didn't sound quite so sure of himself.
Not as far as I know, but you honestly expect me to believe that an entire team of FBI agents is barking up the wrong tree? You were just pursuing James Van Amberg yourselves. Isn't he one of the founders of the NFF?
He was, I acknowledged, but I don't think he's working for them anymore. He's working for the bad guys instead.
Who are? J.J. demanded.
I grimaced. I don't know yet. J.J. gave a short bark of derisive laughter.
Ha! That's all you got? A hunch?
Summer rushed to my defense.
Daddy, you know how smart Teddy is. You've said it yourself a dozen times. So if he thinks something stinks about all this, then something stinks. James Van Amberg just tried to kill him, for Pete's sake, because he realized Teddy had evidence that proved the NFF wasn't involved.
And how would he know that?
J.J. asked.
Because Teddy told me so, Summer declared. He said it on our phone call.
I had just left Panda Palace, I explained. I guess Van Amberg was keeping an eye on me again. He must have overheard me, then followed me to Polar Pavilion and thrown me in with the bears to make sure I didn't tell anyone what I knew.
J.J., Honecker interrupted. At this point, it is still conjecture that Van Amberg threw Teddy into the polar bear pit at all. My men are examining the security footage from the Polar Pavilion to confirm if that's what actually occurred.
To confirm it? I repeated, annoyed. Why, you think I might have just jumped in with the polar bears for fun?
I think it's possible that you have misconstrued the situation, Honecker replied. There were dozens of people in that exhibit, and no one else saw him throw you in.
I did, Marge said. I was coming through the doors when it happened. That's how I knew Teddy was even in the water.
As we have established, your skills at deduction are questionable, Honecker said.
You know what's not questionable? Marge snapped. That you're a pinhead.
She and Honecker started shouting at each other, all their rage bubbling out. J.J. had to rush between them.
Both of you can it, he roared.
Marge and Honecker fell silent but kept glowering at each other. J.J. looked at me.
All right, Teddy, I'll bite. What evidence did you find that was worth him killing you over?
Pandas make 50 pounds of poop a day, I reported.
50 pounds? J.J. asked. That can't be healthy. No wonder they're going extinct.
They don't digest bamboo very well, I explained.
So? Honecker asked.
Li Ping was on the truck for a long time before she got kidnapped, I went on. They made a pit stop halfway through the trip in Las Cruces, and the panda was still on board. That had to have been at least 8 hours, right, Marge?
That's correct, she confirmed.
But when the truck got here, I said, there wasn't any poop in it. Everyone fell silent as that sank in. Honecker's jaw swung open.
Son of a gun, you're right.
He is? J.J. asked.
Of course he is, Summer declared. Teddy's never wrong.
There was a bunch of bamboo, Honecker said, but no poop.
It's not like we could have missed it, I added. According to Chloe Dolkart, it's big, like the size of avocados, and pandas do it 40 times a day.
Hold on, Marge said, trying to make sense of what was going on. Are you saying that whoever stole Li Ping also swiped a whole bunch of panda poo?
Summer smacked her forehead, stunned by how dense Marge was. No, I said. I'm saying the panda poo was never there, because the panda was never there. Someone switched the trailers on the trucks.
What?
Marge asked, still trying to understand. They didn't hit the truck while it was in motion, I said. Instead, they took a trailer that looked exactly like ours, made it up to look like a crime scene, with the blown locks and the chloroform and everything, and then swapped it with ours at some point on the trip. They got the panda cage and all the furniture for Doc, right, but they forgot about the poop. Or maybe they just didn't know how much pandas go to the bathroom.
I sure didn't, J.J. muttered. 50 pounds, wow, that's more than a good dog weighs.
Now hold on, Honecker argued. You can't swap trailers while the truck is moving.
Well, no, I agreed. However, if you had a team of people on the side of the road, you could do it pretty quickly, I think. Much faster than you could break into the trailer, steal Li Ping, and kidnap Doc.
But then the drivers would have to be in on it, Honecker pointed out.
Only one would, I corrected. Juan Velasquez was driving at the time. For this to work, he would have had to park on the side of the road to uncouple the first trailer, then move the cab to hitch up the second trailer. If he did it quickly enough, Greg Jefferson could have slept through the whole thing.
And what about Marge? Honecker asked. She was right there in the cab next to Juan. How could she have missed all this?
Because she was asleep too, I said. Everyone looked to Marge.
I wasn't, she said defensively. I was awake the whole time.
Are you sure? I asked.
Of course I'm sure,
Marge exclaimed, though she didn't sound quite so confident this time.
If you fell asleep on the job, it's best to be honest about it, J.J. informed her. Li Ping's laugh is at stake.
Marge shrank toward the wall.
I might have nodded off for a tiny bit. I mean, I didn't think I did, but it was such a long drive, and I did get a little drowsy around Fort Stockton, even though I got a big old tub of coffee in Las Cruces.
Did you buy the coffee? I asked. Marge thought about it, then frowned.
No. Juan did. He claimed it was regular, but it sure didn't work for me.
You wouldn't have needed to be asleep very long for this to work, I told her. Maybe you didn't even realize you'd done it. It happens to me sometimes when I'm really tired.
Me too,
Summer chimed in. Like when you and I were watching that boring movie at my house the other night, Teddy. I wouldn't have even known I was falling asleep, except that the movie seemed to keep jumping ahead.
Wait one blasted second, J.J. said. This still seems highly speculative to me. What's the point of stealing the whole trailer rather than just stealing the panda?
For one thing, it's faster, I explained, and it's probably easier. Instead of having to wrestle the panda and Doc out of the trailer on the side of the highway and put them in a different vehicle, the thieves could just attach the entire trailer to a different truck, drive it off wherever they wanted, and deal with Doc and Li Ping when they got there.
And you don't think Doc would have realized something was going on? Honecker asked.
Not if he slept through it, Summer pointed out. He said he was asleep right up to the point where they chloroformed him. Or maybe they chloroformed him while they were switching the trailers. Either way would have worked.
J.J. glowered. Well, I suppose. But it still wouldn't be so easy to pull this off. You'd need an exact replica of the panda trailer we designed.
I don't think it was an exact replica, I said. That's where they messed up. I mean, they could fake the outside and the cage and the furniture, but they couldn't fake what Li Ping and Doc would do inside. They didn't think about the panda poop, and they made it look like Doc watched a nature documentary on his DVD player. One about lions. You could always call him and ask if he actually watched it. I'll bet he didn't.
JJ considered that, then grabbed his phone and said, Linda, get Doc for me, right now. He's probably going to say no, but tell him it concerns the fate of Li Ping.
While we waited for Doc, JJ flipped the phone to speaker so we could all hear. I shifted nervously on the couch. As far as I knew, Doc hated television and never watched it, but I wasn't completely sure. Summer put her hand on my knee.
Relax, she whispered. I know you're right. I have Doc for you, Linda announced over the phone.
Then Doc came on, sounding annoyed.
I'm about to go into surgery, JJ. I don't have much time.
This will only take a few seconds. When you were in the trailer with Li Ping, did you watch any of those nature documentaries we provided for you? The one about lions?
Why would I do that? Doc snorted. I see enough lions at work, and I know more about them than any documentary crew.
So you didn't watch any of the movies? Honecker pressed.
I didn't even turn on the TV, Doc replied. I read a book the whole time, up until I fell asleep.
That's all we needed to know, JJ said. Thanks for the info.
He hung up.
There was no book left behind in the trailer, Honecker reported.
I'll be darned, Teddy,
JJ said, sounding kind of impressed.
Looks like you're right once again. They cloned the trailer.
Which is why I don't think the NFF could have done it, I said. A trailer like that must be awfully expensive, right?
They're not cheap, JJ concurred.
From what I understand, I went on, the NFF doesn't have much money. But whoever pulled off this heist must be loaded. They bought a trailer and possibly paid off Juan and James Van Amberg as well.
Then who was it? Summer asked. Animal traffickers?
I'm not sure, I admitted, but the trailer itself is the big clue to figuring that out. Whoever made it had to know exactly what the real trailer was going to look like. So who built the real trailer?
I don't know, JJ said.
You don't? Summer gasped.
A million decisions get made at my companies every day, JJ informed her. I can't be in on every single one of them.
He grabbed the phone again.
Linda, call Carter Hanauer in transportation. Find out from him who built the panda trailer for us.
Right away, JJ, Linda said.
JJ hung up, then looked to the TV again. Molly O'Malley was still confidently talking to the press, completely sure she was right about the Nature Freedom Force's guilt. JJ turned back to me.
The FBI sends a whole crack division out here to handle this, and they didn't see what you did. Not a single one of them thought to talk to the panda keepers.
Actually, I said, that was Marge's idea. Summer gaped at me in surprise. So did Marge for a moment. Then she caught on to my lie and acted like she'd known this all along. I was as shocked as either one of them that I'd said it. The idea had simply popped into my head, and before I even knew what I was doing, I'd spoken up. JJ didn't buy it for a second.
Really?
He asked skeptically.
Really?
I said, trying my best to sell it.
And why didn't you go to the keepers yourself, Marge?
Honecker asked, equally as suspicious as JJ.
I didn't think you'd approve, Marge replied. You had made it very clear that I was not to interfere with the panda case.
But Marge just had this sense that the FBI was making a mistake with the NFF, I said. So she asked me to talk to Chloe, and then we all agreed to meet up at the Polar Pavilion to discuss what I'd learned. But James Van Amberg got the jump on me. Thankfully, Marge was there to save my life.
Summer joined in now, coming to Marge's aid as well.
Maybe Marge got a little crazy going after James Van Amberg. But the guy had just tried to kill Teddy. Marge didn't want to let him get away.
And he wouldn't have if I'd had a little more help from security,
Marge said pointedly, glaring at Honecker. Honecker shrank under her gaze.
I promise you we'll find him.
JJ looked from Marge to me to Summer, then back to Marge again. It didn't seem like he really believed us, but he seemed intrigued that I, and more importantly Summer, had gone to bat for Marge.
Chief, maybe we were a little hasty in our dismissal of Officer O'Malley.
Perhaps, Honecker said.
He didn't really seem to agree with JJ. He simply didn't want to contradict his boss. Before he could say anything else, my parents burst into the office. They ran right to me and hugged me tightly.
"Are you all right?" Dad asked.
"I'm fine," I told him.
"How does this keep happening to you?"
Mom asked. She continued holding on to me, despite the fact that I was damp and soaking through her shirt.
"I don't know," I said. "I was being careful this time. All I did was talk to a keeper."
"We're not upset with you," Dad assured me. "We were just so scared when we got the news." Mom looked at Marge.
"We hear we have you to thank for saving Teddy."
Marge waved this off.
"It was no big deal. They were only bears. It's not as if they're dangerous, like lions."
Marge, Dad said, "polar bears are easily as dangerous as lions. Probably even more dangerous. They've been known to hunt humans." Marge paled.
"You mean I could have been killed in there?"
"Not just killed," Summer said gleefully. "You could have been mauled, eviscerated, and then eaten."
Marge wobbled on her feet as the realization of what she'd done sank in. And then she passed out. She pitched forward onto J.J. McCracken's coffee table, which promptly collapsed underneath her. Honecker rushed to her side to see if she was all right. Linda buzzed through on J.J.'s phone.
"J.J., I spoke to Carter Hanauer. He says the Panda trailer was custom-built by Sponco Trucks."
"And who owns Sponco Trucks?"
J.J. inquired.
"It's a subsidiary of the Nautilus Corporation," Linda replied.
JJ stiffened at the name. So did I. We both knew who ran the Nautilus Corporation.
"Walter Ogilvy," JJ growled.
"The man who busted the shark tank with Teddy in it?" Mom asked.
"One and the same."
JJ angrily pounded his desk with a fist.
"He built a fake trailer, stole my panda, and framed the NFF. And the FBI bought it, hook, line, and sinker, like a bunch of blasted fools. We better get a hold of them fast so they can track down Van Amberg and get him to turn evidence on Ogilvy."
Honecker's phone buzzed urgently. He read the text and smiled. Then he said,
"JJ, I'm not sure bringing in the feds gets us anything. For all we know, they won't even listen to us."
He nodded toward the TV, where Molly O'Malley was still conducting her press conference.
"They seem awfully convinced that they've got the right guys."
"Look, Chief," JJ said, "I know you got your tail in a twist because of how the feds treated you, but I have to get that panda back, and frankly, I need the A-team for this. I know you're a good man, but as far as our security here, well, they're a little out of their league on this case."
"Maybe not," Honecker replied, hanging up the phone. "It just so happens we've arrested James Van Amberg."